And as we said, our plan for the second course is to cover the Acts of the Apostles, choosing the most important events. The Acts are a history of the principal events of the early church. The event we are covering in class this afternoon is Christ's ascension. It begins with the first chapter, first verse. That is the ascension of Christ. I'll read from my Confraternity version. It may help to compare what you have. This is a translation from the Vulgate. In the former book, O Theophilus, I spoke of all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day on which he was taken up, after he had given commandments through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them also he showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs, during 40 days, appearing to them and speaking of the kingdom of God. And while eating with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, of which you have heard, said he, by my mouth. For John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. They therefore, we had come together, began to ask him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? But he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses for me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the very ends of the earth. And when he had said this, he was lifted up before their eyes, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing up to heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white garments and said to them, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up to heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way to you as you have seen him going up to heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount, called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered the city, they mounted to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Jude, the brother of James. All these, with one mind, continued steadfastly in prayer with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. These 14 verses have been commented on over the centuries in volumes of explanation. You will notice, for the second time, St. Luke, who wrote the Acts, foretells Christ sending the Holy Spirit. The first time he quotes Christ is at the end of his gospel. This is Luke. And now, at the beginning of the Acts, and just before his ascension into heaven, you might then say that the sequence is Christ takes his followers, and notice the mount to which he took them and from which he ascended. It was Mount Olivet. What took place on Mount Olivet not too many weeks before? Christ, remember, agony and the beginning of his passion. Christ foretold that he would send the Holy Spirit and confer power. But notice, power in the sense of enabling Christ's followers to be martyrs. The Greek word in St. Luke is, "You will be my martyrs," Christ foretells, "even to the ends of the earth." After making the prediction, then what happened? Jesus rose from the ground physically and went to heaven. Immediately after his ascension, Christ disappeared from their sight, though he did physically rise. And then I have 35 questions in my plan. Is to go through these questions with you. I have here pages of explanation. Each one of these questions, altogether, there are 2,000, I counted them, 2,289 questions. And these questions have explanations. These are the explanations for just this set of questions. Altogether, the explanations fill 4 published volumes. These volumes are not for general circulation. In any case, what we'll do now is go over the questions that you've all received. And the purpose then is to cover as many of these questions as we have reasonable time for. I will ask you, however, to then read both the questions and then read in the Acts of the Apostles for a filling out of the answers. Christ's ascension, first, true or false? Christ's ascension into heaven was an historical fact. True, it was. Christ really, physically, corporeally, with sensible perfection, rose from the dead. Number 2, the heavens to which Christ ascended were the sun, moon, and stars. False. the popular and understandable meaning of heaven. In ordinary language, is, well, heaven is up there and may be identified, well, with the sun, moon, and stars. Heaven may also be identified with our destiny. Theologically, we define heaven as where the experience of the presence of God is enjoyed. Heaven is where the experience of God's presence is enjoyed. And those are the heavens to which Christ ascended. In other words, there must be rational persons, both angelic and human, to experience the presence of God and enjoy that presence. Then, it's heaven. Number three, Christ descended by his own divine power exclusively. No, false. Christ, remember, was and is both God and man. He ascended by his divine power as God, but he chose to ascend into heaven not only as God, but also as man. So number four is false. Number five, Christ did not use his human power as man to ascend into heaven. False. He did. What did he use? He used his freedom. He chose. Number six, Christ's glorified body could move wherever he willed. Yes. And my friends, that's going to be our glorified body too. One thing I'm absolutely sure in heaven, there'll be no airplanes, no automobiles. We won't need them. Our bodies will move with the swiftness of thought. Christ's glorified body could move not only where he wanted to go, but, well, when he wanted to go. Seven, the ascension means the final elevation of Christ's human nature into the condition of divine glory. True. And this, by the way, is our destiny too. Hear it. When we die, please God, it won't be a long time after our body dies that we will enter heaven, but only in our souls. Friends of Assisi, St. Ignatius, your name of the saints, they're in heaven all right, but just in their souls. Imagine addressing, dear soul of St. Francis, you can already hear a voice. Stop it. Call me St. Francis. But it's just the souls of the saints that are in heaven now. So, on the last day, we will have our ascension. In other words, it'll be both our resurrection and ascension. Though we usually reserve the ascension for Christ, who then went to heaven by his own power. We might call it our Assumption, like Our Lady. Our Lady's body, if she died, we're not absolutely sure she dies. If she did die, her body never decayed. And the moment her soul left the body, you might say it was immediately reunited, soul and body, and now entered or re-entered a glorified body at her Assumption. In other words, our resurrection will also be the day of our Assumption, corresponding to Christ's Ascension. Because remember, and this I cannot tell you, how brainwashed, how mesmerized we Catholics have become in our very non-Catholic United States. Turn on the television, read the newspaper, whatever you touch, everywhere you look, it's a non-Catholic nation. The very words we use, English, but non-Catholic. When then we speak of going to heaven, let's make sure we are clear. When we die, and behold, it will be soon after our bodily death, that our souls will go to heaven. And remember, the moment, a split second, after our body, dies, and the soul leaves the body, that soul will be more conscious than ever before. Extraordinarily, sensitively, profoundly conscious. Minus the body. Yes, minus the body. But don't you need a body to be conscious with? No. How do we know? God, as God has no long pause, body. Angels have no pause, bodies. And they are sure conscious. But then, on our day of resurrection of the body, and then Assumption into heaven, in heaven, where until that day, only the soul is in heaven, the body will be there too. And the one who began the whole process was Christ. That's Christ's Ascension. Christ's Ascension is much more important in our faith than I'm afraid most people realize. Number 8, the concluding work of redemption was the resurrection, not the Ascension. No, false. The concluding work of redemption was the Ascension. And hear it. We are not angels, we're human beings, and how human we are. And consequently, our destiny is to be in heaven, not only in spirit or soul, but in body. Think of all the labor over the years we will have expended with our body. Think of all the kneading we've done with our bodies. When I was in the novitiate, I never seen this before, but my fellow Jesuit novices, I didn't look, I blinked. Most of the novices, of course, we wore cassocks during the day. But in gym class or other times, we'd have, well, our shirt and pants on. And the novices all had patches on their other knees. It's really something to see men with their knees with patches on. And, you know, you kneel hours a day. And you better, otherwise you won't make it through the novitiate. And I found out the only sure way of staying awake when you're praying, sitting down is not safe. I told you about my fellow novice Delmar, didn't I?
No.
Oh. Delmar. He could stand fast asleep. He was never called in. Of course, nobody would ever tell on him, but we knew he was. He got a good sleep during the meditation. Yeah, and Dill, how do you do it? Oh, he says, fellas, it's a gift. Well, we didn't have the gift. We couldn't walk around. We could have stayed awake, but you couldn't walk around. You could either stand or kneel or sit. Standing was, well, you get tiresome. And it's risky too, you collapse. Sitting down, you fall asleep. At any rate, all the acts of charity. And we serve God with our bodies. Heaven is awaiting us to reward our bodies. That's the ascension of Christ. Number 9. The souls of the just go to heaven with Christ at his ascension. Yes. But notice. Now that can be false. Number 9 can be false. You know why? Souls and the bodies. Souls alone. I don't have my key here. I just have a blank page. But the souls and the bodies of the just went to heaven with Christ at the ascension. Is that true, Carol?
Yes.
Did the bodies of the just go to heaven with Christ at the ascension?
No.
No. Not yet. The souls did go. Okay. Number 10. The ascension of Christ is the pledge of our own ascension to heaven. Yes.
Ascension?
Now, indicate whether the following statements are true or false. As Christ in heavenly glory. Before the ascension, Christ was not in heaven as the incarnate Son of God. Before the ascension, Christ was not in heaven as the incarnate Son of God. Is that true or false? Please, by the way, my job as teacher is, well, you've got a play act. You can't be giving people all the answers, otherwise they wouldn't learn anything. So, once more.
I say it's true.
You say what?
I say it's true.
It's true. It was not, Christ was not in heaven. No. As the incarnate Son of God. No. No. That's right. He was not. It's true. It's true that he was not. Well, we cannot see that Christ merited heavenly glory on this side. We cannot say. Or should we say? Is it true or false?
True.
We cannot say. Oh, well, gee. See, if everybody always had the right answer, I wonder why I have class. We better say Christ merited heavenly glory. Christ is man merited. He merited for himself. He merited for us. The answer is true. Christ's entrance into glory was a reward for his perfect obedience to the Heavenly Father. True. 14. Christ now in heaven is preparing a place for us. Is that true or false? True. And notice, there's a place for us. Now, I'm not sure, well, what streets they have in heaven, what they call them, whether apartment houses, whether boulevards or avenues, whether they are floors. But whatever place means has to be taken literally. Why? Because after the last day, and that's what a body needs. A body needs space. There has to be a place. In other words, oh, listen to this. In heaven, we will have to, well, pass each other by, see? We won't just be walking through each other like ghosts or specters. Am I clear? Yeah. 15. The kingdom which Christ entered is the heavenly kingdom to which we also are destined. Yes. And it's a kingdom. Just for the record. How would you answer this? Is heaven a democracy?
No.
Who said no? Imagine taking a vote on things in heaven. Now that Christ ascended into heaven, he is no longer really present in his human nature on earth. Is that true or false?
What about
16
and 17? That's 18.
Did I skip something?
16 also.
Did I skip? What did I skip?
16.
Christ Jesus is Christ the King, not only as God, but also as man. As man, is he King? Yes. And as he foretold, when he came on earth the first time, he came as a helpless child. When he comes the second time, he won't be helpless at all. 17, then, if Christ had not ascended to heaven, he would not have sent the Holy Spirit. That's what he says. And now 18. Now that Christ has entered heaven, he is no longer really present in his human nature on earth. Is that true or false?
False.
Believe that and pray. I keep repeating to one audience after another, and pray that we priests hold on to that faith. It's the heart of our priesthood. That we sinners, pronouncing the words, this is my body, this is my blood, bring the living Christ down on earth. I've talked with too many priests not know what I'm talking about. 19. Christ's ascension is the hope of our reaching heaven. Even at his resurrection is the promise of our final resurrection from the dead. Is that true?
Yes.
Yes. Notice there are two rewards, if you wish, both in Christ and then in us. For which he then prepared the way, both his resurrection as the hope of ours and his ascension as the hope of ours. He rose from the dead, so shall we. He ascended into heaven, so shall we, and get it in soul and body. 20. Christ now in heaven retains in his glorified body the wounds he received during his passion on earth.
True.
True. True. And now, just to make sure, this may be a little complicated, I'd like to finish this. So I'll look at that's question 21.
Father, you missed number 4 in that first section.
Please?
You missed number 4 in that first section.
Thank you.
Number?
Christ as God was never absent.
You missed number 4, Father, in that first section.
The ascension.
You mean I skipped it?
Yes. Yes.
Thanks.
Welcome.
Christ is God, was never absent from heaven.
True.
Is that true?
True.
Well, if Christ as God were absent from heaven, that would be the end of heaven. He couldn't be absent from heaven. He was never absent from heaven. Thanks. And all the matching. Well, first I'll use my answer pages here from the explanations that I have. 21, after the apostles, corresponds to 25, St. Luke. Now, just a word. In most cases, there's a paragraph, even two paragraphs, of explanation. Just a sentence or two. The author of the Acts of the Apostles was a disciple of St. Paul. St. Luke was not only the disciple of the apostle of the Gentiles, he was also his confidant. So true is this that we may safely call St. Luke the evangelist of the Blessed Virgin Mary and of the apostle St. Paul. He, Luke, features both Mary and St. Paul. Moreover, the Acts of the Apostles have been called the Second Gospel of St. Luke. They have also been called the Gospel of the Holy Spirit, because as Christ foretold at the end of Luke's Gospel, that he would send the Holy Spirit, and the Acts of the Apostles describe no less than the four Gospels describe what the second person did visibly on earth. So the Acts of the Apostles are the one Gospel of what the Holy Spirit did when he was sent by the second person to both form and propagate the church. 22 corresponds to 32. As he blessed them, he withdrew from them and was carried up to heaven. Some commentary. It is deeply significant the last visible action that Christ performed on earth before his ascension was to bless his disciples. St. Luke notes that before his actual ascension, but before his blessing, before his actual ascension, but after his blessing, Christ withdrew from the disciples. In other words, the evangelist records three events. First, the blessing by Christ. Second, Christ withdrawing from the disciples. And third, his bodily ascension. In other words, Christ's blessing was his final, visible conferral of grace on the disciples. It was, we may say, a sacramental action where a visible sign, the blessing, was a channel of invisible grace. I leave the world corresponds to 34, to go to the Father. 23 corresponds to 34. There was a literalness in Christ's language that should be taken seriously. When Christ said he was leaving the world, he meant that he was leaving the world in visible form. When he said he was going to the Father, he meant he was going to heaven in visible form. It did not mean he would no longer be in the world. In fact, the Eucharist is Christ. The whole Christ living in the world today. But he went to the Father in visible form for at least two important reasons. First, at the right hand of his Heavenly Father, Christ continues interceding for us as our Redeemer. And second, on earth, he provides us with the opportunity of living our faith in the reality of his Eucharistic presence. Even though our senses do not tell us that he is here, hear it. One reason for the Eucharist is to give us a chance to prove our faith. Even as Christ's contemporaries saw only a man and believed behind that man was God, so we see only what looks and tastes like bread. And believe behind what looks like bread is a man, and behind that man is the living God. But, and what a but this is, I've said this, I'm sure, more than once to you. For about 10 years now, I've been telling one audience after another, expect miracles. I mean it, expect miracles. You are not a true, bona fide Christian unless you expect miracles. I mean it. Meaning what? Expect God to surpass the powers of nature. Expect God to do what is humanly impossible. But behind that expectation must be faith in the Christ who will do those miracles. Number 24, that your thoughts be on heavenly things corresponds to 30, not on the things that are on earth. This is no mere exhortation that our thoughts should be on heavenly things. and not on the things that are on earth. It is a sacred duty. Oh, do I ever know? I don't see what I'm talking about or what I'm saying in quoting all the masters of Christian wisdom over the centuries. The things that are on earth are visible, tangible, audible, palatable, and perceivable to our senses. They are the things that the world tells us are what really matters. Look, in English, everybody who speaks the English language says, oh, something is not important. That does not matter. Do you hear it? That does not matter. Matter. Imagine saying, that is not spirit. What did you say? That is not spirit. I don't get it. We are so enveloped in the world for which the only reality is what you can touch, taste, feel, and see. And because I tell myself this so often, sooner than we think, we won't have any eyes. We won't have any mouth. We won't have any hands. We won't have any heart. We will just be the dust of the earth. Oh, materially, but really, dear God, really, really, the reality that we are, which is our spirit, will never die. Oh, when you think of the shampooing and the manicuring and the, oh, you know, the time we spend on the body compared with the lip service we give the soul. No wonder my Jesuit students from Asia and Africa tell me over the years, we admire your American freedom. We're breathtaking. But we shake our heads at how little you Americans pray. We are, as we say, so busy about what? So busy about the dust and the dirt that we're going to become once our body is deprived of its soul. And that soul, as that Christ is telling us, number 25, he was lifted up while they looked on, corresponds to number 27. A cloud took him from their sight. This statement by St. Luke tells us how literally Christ wanted his ascension into heaven to be taken. Christ did actually rise from the ground. The disciples actually saw him rising, as they say, with their eyes. They saw him. Did he have to go through the millions of light years of space? Don't be silly. No. For the glorified body, hear this, distance means nothing in the flying that I do. How well I know. Every extra mile they charge you. No charge. Glorified body. I want to go to San Francisco. Well, here I am. Number 26. Lord, as the time come, corresponds to 22. Are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? This question, which the apostles asked the Savior, perfectly illustrates how desperately they needed the light of the Holy Spirit. Look, Christ for 3 years had taught them, and let me tell you, over the years, this has consoled me no end in teaching theology. Year after year, Jesuits, 7 years of formal training, 3 in philosophy, 4 in theology, final examination for 2 hours, whole exam. You just resign yourself. The dumbest answers. You think the chairs on which they were sitting would have learned more. But okay, finish the sentence. The capacity of the human mind to forget is